So please, just one announcement here. Please remain seated throughout the service this morning. You can ignore the asterisks that are there. Our text this morning is 1 John chapter 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And dear fellow redeemed in Christ, why are moral values, what is right and what is wrong, targeted with derision? It is so that people will not repent of their sin. Why are key events of the life of Jesus, his birth through the Virgin Mary, his death, and his glorious resurrection, why are they treated with skepticism? It is so that people will doubt that Jesus came to live, die, and rise again for our salvation. Why is it that the Bible is so deliberately rejected as the divine truth? It is so that people will not seek that word, but look for other ways of knowing whatever spiritual things they think they might need or desire. These are examples of the world in which the Christian church exists. This is where the Christian church moves. When one examines these various attempts to denigrate the teaching of the church in the broader world around us and as close as our own lives, it is easy to think of Jesus' words, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Can we survive these assaults that cause doubt and despair? The Apostle John, like all of our brothers and sisters in Christ there in the first century, knew well the temptations and trials of the world, its corrosive effect on the life of faith. John had been there to see Judas betray the Son of God. He had been near Peter when Peter denied Jesus three times. John's own brother and his fellow apostle had been beheaded for being one of them, a disciple of Jesus. And John himself would end up exiled on an island off the coast of Asia Minor, there to end his days. But John was blessed by God, chosen by the Holy Spirit to bring these words for us to hear this day, 19 centuries after their first writing. John, despite the firsthand trial that he experienced at the hands of the power of the world, can still write about their defeat. Now, what does world mean here in John's letters and elsewhere in his writings? The kingdom of the world represents not only the earthly life with its worldly interests, but particularly its lord and regent, the devil and his angels, and all unchristian, godless, wicked people on earth. In other words, the world is everything that opposes the Son of God, his kingdom of grace, and all those who believe in the Son of God. Three times, John states how the world is overcome. The world is defeated. It is not defeated in some military struggle with the weapons of military might, whether ancient or modern. It is not Greek phalanxes or Roman legions. It is not armored divisions or air power, not even nuclear missiles, which bring worldly powers to their knees in defeat before God and his people. It is something miraculous, but so unlikely and so foolishly ordinary that it gets nothing but ridicule and scorn from the power of the world. So what does John tell us about how the world is overcome? John uses three expressions to state what is basically the same thing. Whatever is born of God, our faith, and he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. These are what overcome the world. These are what lead to victory over even death itself, something from which human ingenuity to this day can promise at best only a temporary pause. Think of the billions of dollars spent on healthcare just the last 2 years. Death is not defeated by that. But John speaks of overcoming the world, defeating sin, death, and devil. He speaks of faith. How can faith do this? Does it mean that I have the power to trust so well, so completely, with such perfect intentionality and authenticity that I can point to myself and say, I have faith. Oh, no, that's not it. Well, what is this faith that achieves so much? What is it about? Faith is about its object. That is, it is in whom we believe and all that he has done. It is faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We don't just say, I have faith, or I'm a believer. We must complete the sentence, continuing on to make the substance of that confession, I believe Jesus. I trust him. In John's Gospel, we are given the words of Jesus that he spoke shortly before he would go to Gethsemane to be arrested on Holy Thursday. Mere hours before they would see him arrested, degraded, humiliated, whipped, spit upon, and killed, Jesus told his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Note the term that Jesus uses here, overcome the world. The very words that John would repeat three times here in his epistle. John desires you to be sure, certain, without doubt, but confessing to Jesus, as did Thomas and other disciples, my Lord and my God. This is the faith which overcomes the world because it trusts the promise of the one who has done exactly that. In the verses that follow the little bit of 1 John 5 that we've heard this morning, we read a bit more about the victory of Jesus over the world. John wrote, "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." The Word of God, written that we may believe in Jesus, remains with us, our foundation of faith, because it is of Christ, our Savior. He is the one in whom we are reborn through the waters and promise of baptism. In that way, faith was instilled in our hearts, a mighty work of God, so that our own vacillating decisions don't get in the way of being certain of our salvation. Jesus did it, and he gives it to you. However, the world still hates you because you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. The world that still hopes that the truth of Jesus will be canceled, that world is already overcome. You may very well be mocked for believing Jesus and his word. The world still looks pretty powerful to those who know only the power of this world, but to God's people, to you who are the adopted sons and daughters through faith in Jesus, the promise is given and demonstrated through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. As he said, "I have overcome the world." And he did it for you. We now can look at the audacity of the world as it challenges God himself and see behind the boasting, knowing that it is empty of any real and eternal power. It can still look scary, but it cannot undo the victory of Jesus. That work of our Lord and our God is done, and it is done for you. Rely on that work. It is why we confess with John, "This is the victory that has overcome the world," our faith, because it is faith in Jesus, the one who is the resurrection and the life. Believe him. Amen. And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, with us abide, for round us falls the eventide. Nor let thy word, that heavenly light, for us be ever veiled in night. In these last days of sore distress, grant us, dear Lord, true steadfastness, that pure we keep till life is spent, thy holy word and sacrament. Thy word shall fortify us hence, it is thy church's sure defense. O, let us in its power confide, that we may seek no other guide. O, grant that in thy holy word we here may live and die, dear Lord, And when our journey endeth here, receive us into glory there. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.